Hey, welcome to the Protectors Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Piccolo. I am joined by Mike. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, Jason. Thanks for having me.
I'm not going to butcher your last name, so I'll leave it as Mike.
it's LeGregney.
Okay. I should know that. It's Italian, right?
It is.
Okay. You know, I'm a Piccolo, so I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm from New Jersey.
We're brother Jerseyans.
I know. I should know every Italian name and how to pronounce it.
Mike works for now.
Okay. Mike, I appreciate you coming on. I came home today. I looked at, first I started getting these FedEx notifications for the past couple of days. I'm like, what the heck is coming from New Jersey? And then I look and I'm like, it's coming from Veteran Wood. I'm like, I know that. And I came home, I looked at my front step and there's a huge box. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. And you said you're going to send something. So I get in here, I whip out the old knife. And I'm getting careful. I'm not cutting myself anymore. And I'm always cutting away from the body, as my kids would tell me to do. And I open it up, and there is a huge flag. And it's just very, and my favorite word, awesome. So I get a huge flag from Mike, and it's subdued. It's perfect. First thing I do is hang it on a wall, take some pictures. And then I get a hold of Mike, and Mike's like, hey, did you get the hat? And I'm like, what hat? So there's also a hat. So I love hats. So Mike, I just wanted to get that out there before we start our conversations. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Jay.
So now that brings us, like, how do you, you know, you have a diverse background, police, Marines, security, everything. But all of a sudden now you're the Veteran Wood Company. Now, have you always been a woodworker?
No, it's an odd story how I got into it. And I'll start, like, only rewinding back a few months because it's very new. My LLC was formed June of 2019, which is 2.5 months ago. And my wife and I were out to dinner, and her name is Celeste, beautiful woman. And she had seen one of these rustic wooden American flags on the wall. And we've all seen them, and they're all beautiful, and each one of them is very unique in their own way. And she had asked me to make one. And I was like, hey, I can make one of those. I had already owned my own table saw, my own chop saw, just from being a homeowner and working with my hands on the side. So I was like, yeah, sure, I can make one of those. So when she got up to go to the bathroom, I did a quick Google search just to see how much these things were, maybe buy one on the side to save time. Anyway, I was shocked. These things were expensive. The size I wanted for my wall, it was upwards of $600. So I was like, holy moly. I went to Home Depot, I bought some wood, and within the next 2 days, I put together this flag and hung it on the wall, and she loved it. And then it was just a matter of social media, getting a hold of the picture. I shared it to my family, and then some friends shared it. Next thing you know, I had DMs coming in. I had messages, text messages, phone calls. People were like, hey, man, can you make me one for my house? And that's when I was like, all right, we might be onto something here. And I'm not the guy. I'm not reinventing the wheel. There are dozens upon dozens of other flag companies out there, and they all do exceptional work. I just happen to be the guy in New Jersey doing it.
Well, you know, you bring up a great point because, you know, as we were talking, I sent you a couple pictures of my flags. And we're, you know, they are all different. You know, I'm a flag guy. So I got the Legacy flag up there. I got the Cruise Custom, Combat flags, Redline Steel, Ranger up, and all of them are different. And that's what I like about it though.
Yeah. They're all beautiful in their own way. The American flag is a beautiful work of art. And it's just, we're putting our own rendition on it, and it's our own unique touch. And I guess you can call it like art. It is art because we're creating it from scratch. So never in my wildest dreams did I think I'd be go from a Marine to a police officer to an artist.
So let's just talk about the Marines. Is that something you came into right after high school?
Yeah, that was one of those decisions that was made prior to graduating. I graduated in 2000 prior to 9/11. Didn't really have the money or the funds or the grades to be getting into any good schools near me. So my parents gave me that ultimatum, like, hey, listen, you're going to need to take care of yourself. There's not much we can do for you financially. Here are some options. So, you know, you see that recruiter in his dress blues and they look sharp. And I never really had a chance to talk to any other service branches other than the Marine Corps. And I was 16 years old. I brought home the recruiter from high school, met my parents. My parents looked at me like I was crazy. This was, you know, pre-9/11. There was no war on the horizon whatsoever. So they thought it was a good idea. They said, hey, listen, you can pay for college. You know, you get a great skill set depending on what you do. And you come out and you're a more mature man. You're a better version of yourself. So with the parents' permission, got the signatures, and I went to boot camp. I was 17 years old and turned 18 in boot camp. And that was December of 2000 when I graduated.
Yeah, it seems like a million years ago, doesn't it?
It does. It's crazy to think that if I had stayed in, I'd be retiring in a year.
Yeah, I went through that the other day. You know, I went in 93, so I'm thinking, yeah, I would have been retired a long time ago.
I would have been a sergeant major or a general by now.
So you do the Marines, you get out, and you're like, hey, I'm going to go back to Jersey and become a cop?
Yeah, well, I did the Marines. You know, 9/11 happened. I was in a wing, as they say, is terminology. I was not a grunt. I was an aircraft mechanic because I'd always been working with my hands prior to the Marine Corps. So when I went in, my job was I wanted to do something with my hands. So I was an aircraft mechanic for a few years, and then post 9/11, I transitioned my job. I did a billet. It was a 3-year requirement. I had to be an NCO at the time, and I chose the Marine Security Guard Battalion duty, and we're essentially like a SWAT team for the embassies. And you hear about them overseas. They're not really too active. They're not really in the limelight, but essentially you're a mini SWAT team for the embassy in case anything was to go down. So I did that for 3 years. It brought me to India, Sri Lanka. I was in Saudi Arabia for a little bit. And then my last duty station was London. Got out of the Marine Corps in 2006. And then I knew I wanted to become some sort of law enforcement. I preferred not to wear a uniform, but at the time I had to finish college to get that degree because most federal agencies required that at the time. So put myself through about 3 years in night school, working full-time during the day and using my GI Bill. And I got my associates in criminal justice. And that's when I started taking the local state and state level civil service tests for New Jersey.
Now, I'd imagine that when you first went to Marines, you weren't looking to be, hey, you know, I want to be a policeman. So the security forces kind of changed your mind into that?
Yeah, I had never grown up in northern New Jersey. Where I'm from, I was 10 minutes outside New York City. My parents didn't own weapons. My friends' parents didn't own weapons. Hunting was a foreign object to us. I had never been around guns other than boot camp. And then once I learned about this Marine security guard duty, essentially transitioning us to mini operators within a very vacuum community at the embassy, I really got a taste for what it is that I enjoyed. And I did enjoy it on a day-to-day basis. If we weren't working post, we were training. If we weren't training, we were in the gym, you know, crushing weights, as they say. And we had a great time. So when I got out, I knew I wanted to take that and build upon it and take it to the next level. And I figured either federal or local law enforcement would be the opportunity for me.
You know, growing up in Jersey, you know, I did as well. And I grew up northwest, up by the Pocono area. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like it's something in the water in Jersey where, you know, you go one or two paths, like at least where I grew up, it's like, you know, you do the construction world or you kind of go to law enforcement world. It's like you have the best of both worlds in Jersey, you know, the mechanic, construction, blue collarish, and, you know, heading over to the law enforcement.
Yeah, where we're from, New Jersey, you know, people give us a lot of grief, but New Jersey, New York, PA, we're very fortunate because the tri-state area brings together a really diverse community, and you can do anything. Really, you really can do anything up here, and your resources are unlimited.
Yeah, that's one thing I love about it. You know, military, law enforcement, it's just, you know, you do have a lot of community support.
You do.
So you get out, you become a cop, and then you go out to dinner with your wife, and the next thing you know, you're a veteran-owned small business. So that's kind of, you know, that's a difficult transition if you do it wrong, because, you know, yeah, a lot of people want to jump into it. Yeah, go ahead.
I had dabbled in the veteran-owned business in like 2014 with a really good friend of mine, and it was on the nutrition side of things, so not so much creating crafts, but more on the nutrition supplement area. And not going to get into the name. He's still around. Best wishes to him. But he was my best friend at the time. And my job was social media. I was the COO of the company. I was responsible for operations and social media and marketing at the time. So I kind of got a crash course into, you know, what to do and what not to do and how fast we should do it. And scalability is important. And the thing right now with what I'm doing with Veteran Woodco, again, I'm not reinventing the wheel. You know, I'm creating by hand every piece that somebody orders, and it's incumbent upon me that I scale it properly, because if I let this run away from me too quickly, I can find myself upside down, like similar companies have gone upside down in this industry.
Well, it's, you know, I like how you bring up that it's art. It's actual art. And a lot of people just look at it like it's not just a piece of wood. You know, I look at that flag, and the reason I'm a huge flag fan is just because, like, I don't care what U.S. flag I look at, I always get that weird chill. And it's almost like I'm not like a fanboy or like that, but I'm just like, it's such an honor to have a flag and to know what stands behind it. And it's an artwork, man.
Oh, it really is. They got it right when they designed it. You know, our forefathers and everyone that was responsible for putting their name on that dotted line, they definitely got it right. The colors are fabulous. The stars are on point. And no matter where you are in the world, when you see that sign, that flag, it's a global sign of freedom. Like it's a sign of relief.
And you're fortunate enough to have a garage, because it seems like everybody, when they're starting small or starting out, they have a garage or a workspace, man. And I always think of like Eli Crane. He's one of my buddies from Bottle Breacher. And he's like, we started in a garage.
Yeah, that was one of the requirements, because I was a gearhead, as they call us. I was a car guy. I was always into cars ever since I turned 17, had my first Mustang 5.0. And then that transgressed down the road until I came home from the Marine Corps and I bought another one. And then I bought another one. Next thing you know, 700 horsepower later, I'm like, okay, I need a garage for this thing. And no more cars, you know, married, stable. But that was the requirement when I bought the house for the wife. I was like, I need a 2-car garage just in case I want to tinker from time to time. And she gets it. She's been very, very lenient with me, parking in the driveway like normal people do. And right now the whole garage is converted to a wood shop. I have about 20 or 30 pieces in there right now ready to go. I have a whiteboard on the wall with all my orders, dates they've been put down, who's paid, who hasn't paid, you know, how they met me. So I'm trying to keep track the best I can without this project running away. Because like I said, there was a similar company in 2016. It was the Rustic Flag Co. And a lot of people have heard about them because they kind of initiated this movement with the wooden flags. And Rustic Flag Co. was owned by an Army veteran. And he launched this beautiful company. They made beautiful flags. And I think he offered a really big sale on one of the major holidays throughout the year. And he woke up one morning and he had thousands of orders that he never anticipated getting. So the story goes that he had to hire up to 50 employees. They were working 80 hours a week, and he had to declare bankruptcy. And 10,000 customers across the United States never got their flags. And there's a handful of customers of mine now that had lost money to him, and they came to me, and I then recreated that flag they wanted.
Yeah, and that's the other thing about your company is it's you're doing custom orders too. You're not just, you know, and that's when you sent me a picture today and I was like, wow, that's badass. And it's just different, man. It's like you could do all sorts of woodwork, not just the flag design itself. You're actually doing company logos as well.
Yeah. I don't want to be Veteran Flag Co. I want to be Veteran Wood Co. because, you know, you paint yourself in a corner with your name and then people identify your name with what you do. So I didn't want to be too narrow with my name. And I do want to create custom signs. I do want to eventually get into maybe metal work or plastic work or acrylics. And I know it's not in my name, but if I was just Veteran Flag Co., then everybody will identify with, you know, flags is what I produce. But I want to be known for more than that.
And I like I just like the designs, man. And it's one thing is like you're logoing it, you're branding it as well. So if you look in, I don't have a good picture of it now. But by the time the podcast or by the time you're listening to this, I will have a picture up of your logo on the front of it. And it's and like what I said about before, it's very crisp work. How do you know what tools to get? Are you like the YouTube guy or Google or?
My dad, him and I grew up woodworking a lot, and it was mostly skateboard ramps when I was a kid. So the basics are required. You got to have a circular saw. You got to have a chop saw. You got to have a table saw. Like those are the three I'd say everybody needs. You got to have drills. You got to have your hand tools, hammers. You got to have chisels. You have to have pry bars. And then it goes into, okay, how far do you want to take this? So there's a company I follow, Tools Today. It's at Tools Today on Instagram. And I kind of just watch them. And they do some really cool projects. They're not making anything I'm making, but they demonstrate on how everything they sell works. And I just watch how they apply it. I kind of imagine how I would apply it on mine. and I order it. And I now have a 4-foot by 4-foot CNC machine router in my garage, because I knew, like, if I'm going to be recreating these stars on the Union of the Flag, I can't be going down to a local machine shop and having him do it, you know, and having me pay for his time or working around his schedule. I'm going to need to get one of these machines myself in order to kind of keep up with the demand. So I ordered myself a couple $1,000 piece of equipment, you know, overnight. I was like, this is going to cut the stars on my flag. And then now I'm learning how to cut letters, how to cut shapes, how to do 3D engravings. And there's a massive community out there for support if I need it. But you don't really see too many guys using that type of equipment for the flags. A lot of guys are using their hands. So I'm trying to recreate the flag, but in my own vision of what the flag would look like, depending on who you are. You know, like, you got the green one, you got the green and black subdued flag. It's very similar to the green and black subdued patch that you see on an operator's shoulder, like an NVG patch. And then I've got gray and blue ones. I've got the thin blue line flags. I have rustic flags. I have clean flags. And I tell the customer, I said, hey, tell me what you want, and I'll put my own spin on it. Do you want a severely burnt flag, or do you want a clean flag? And if you want it burnt, how burnt do you want it? So I kind of went off on a spin-off there. I'll wing it back in. But as far as tools go, Instagram is a huge source of information for what tools I'm going to use and where to get them from.
Instagram's where it's at, man.
Instagram. Who would have thought 10 years ago I'd be shopping on Instagram?
Exactly. And that, but you know what? That's how you find guests. That's how you find connections. Everything, man. And you know, one thing I wanted to kick back was that you're using tools, you're using almost like flow charts. You're using your military training. You just, right. You know, it's all planning, man. It's all operations orders. It's everything. So that is, you know, I had a conversation probably about 4 or 5 podcasts ago. And gosh, I got to figure out who the hell said it, because it was awesome. It was like, you know, the military is kind of like your starter kit, and you use your starter kit to move on to, you know, great things. You're doing great things right now, man.
Oh, was it the CEO of OS Operations Supply Drop?
No, it was before that.
Okay. Cause he was talking about the same thing, how you have to be able to take what you learn in the military and then transform it and relate it to the civilian world. And it's our constant struggles, our daily struggles. Like, you don't want to be that cliche military guy, but at the same time, what the tools they gave us, they're saving our lives.
No, absolutely. And the other thing is, you learn how to build networks quick. Mm. You know, when they drop you in your first platoon, your first squad, your first section, you don't know these guys, you don't know these girls. And then bam, next thing you know, you're brothers and sisters.
Right. Yeah. One of my opening lines when I was networking for the old company, people did not know who I was. They never heard of us. And I would send them an organic message, and it would simply say, hey, my name's Mike. I'm a police officer. I'm a former Marine. And then it would just go into our spiel about the company. And I never received any negative feedback. People were so open to us. They opened their arms. They gave us a like, they gave us a share, you know, and next thing you know, we had thousands of followers within a couple months. And it was just off, you know, my military background. If I had said, hey, I'm Mike, and here's my company, follow me, like me, they can't relate to that. But whether it's going to be in the gun community, whether it's going to be in the patriot community, whether it's going to be in the military community, you know, the entire Republic community, if you want to get political, the minute you drop the word military, people will kind of warm up to you.
No, it's true. And that's the thing, is like, you know where you stand right off the bat, because 9 times out of 10, military people, police officers can smell bullshit a mile away.
No, of course. Yep.
So, brother, now you are doing Veteran Woodco, you're taking special orders. Now, what's the turnaround rate?
So if I had to start from scratch and make your project, it would probably take me a day or two. Depending on the project, a day. Depending on the level of detail, maybe two, depending on, you know, what type of paints and lacquers you're putting on it, because there's dry time. So I can cut the wood and maybe take me 15 minutes, but then piecing it together, painting it, allowing it to dry and settle, that takes time on its own. So I'm typically doing 2 projects at once, going back and forth using the ADD the Marine Corps supplied me with to juggle the different loads. And I just have to keep track of, okay, this is going to be dry, I'll start working on this. And then I could actually use my CNC router as a third man in the shop or a second man in the shop and let that thing do its magic while I walk away and work on another project. So due to the amount of orders I have right now, I give people like a 2 to 3 week lead time. Your flag, I was able to punch out. It took me a day and a half, and I had it out the door the next, think within 48 hours, boxed up, ready to go. And that was with dry time, painting, assembly, ready to go. So I tell people 2 to 3 weeks, and they're usually pretty lenient with that. And then I do also ask them if there's a hard deadline. Like, I have a couple birthdays coming up. I have a fireman flag retirement present we're doing, and that's due on the 17th. So I'll make a star. I'll put that person at the top. I went to high school with this young lady. She's awesome. So I was like, you know what? She's going to go on top. And as soon as I'm done with Jason's flag, I'm going to get her flag knocked out. And it's just about prioritizing the mission, essentially, you know, finding out what has to happen. You know, it's almost like, I'm going to start spitting out acronyms in a second, but you're just prioritizing the mission and seeing, you know, what's important, what's not important, and then scaling it appropriately.
Now, how do you like the designs themselves? Are you printing the designs out and then sketching it? I'm fascinated by the whole, cause that flag is huge, man. It's not like it's, you know, you're kicking out anything that's like, you know, 6 by 8 inches here. This is, you know, a hefty piece of wood.
Yeah, the one I sent you is 21 by 40 with a 1-inch frame around it. So it's, you know, 22 by 41. I think it weighed in at like 13 pounds. So, and it's solid. It's 13 different pieces of wood. It's not paint. I'm not painting one single piece of wood. I'm individually cutting, sanding, and painting 13 different pieces of wood and then gluing them together. And then I'm taking that union section and I'm hand painting it and cutting in 50 individual stars with the CNC machine. Typically, again, Instagram, huge source of information, everything's on there, the internet, Google, Facebook. I can envision what I want to do, or if I see something that I like, I'll just save it and then I'll put my own spin on it. I'm trying not to duplicate anybody else's work. I'll use a technique from somebody else, but I'm not going to try to mimic their final product. But for yours, I had I'd already done a green and black one. In a bigger size, but it was one of my first flags, like the third one I ever did. And it came out really well, but I wasn't completely happy with it. And I knew what I needed to do to refine it. So when I came around to doing yours, I just applied what I figured needed to be refined, and the final result's hanging on your wall.
And it is an absolute piece of artwork.
Thank you.
So what is your favorite, now besides mine, what is your favorite Instagram follow?
Well, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's a new one. I haven't used this one yet. So okay. This is a good question, man. This is all you now. Let's do it. Let's break it down because I don't want to offend anybody. Who is your favorite Instagram follow to learn technique?
All right. There's a couple of them, but I gave him a shout out earlier at Tools Today for technique, meaning how to apply the tools that I'm going to buy, right? So if I want to see a tool in action or a particular bit for my router in action, I'm going to go to Tools Today and they're going to show me how to do it. And as far as flags go, there was a number of them. I'm going to have to check my save file because in order just to pull this name out of thin air, it's going to be tough. Give me 1 second here. I'm like, okay, I just found a guy. I met his brother at a show this weekend in Jersey. And he's like, hey, my brother does this. He's in North Carolina. And his handle is made by_Connor with 2 N's. And he's not making flags, but he's using similar techniques and he's using the same machine that I'm using. So I reached out to him and I was like, hey man, I just asked him, just like I asked you, hey, would you like to speak sometime? You know, would you mind giving me a few minutes of your day so I could pick your brain about the topics that I want to know more about? And people are usually very open to that as long as you approach them in a polite way. So made by_Connor, I'm a big fan of his work that he's doing. There's another guy who actually took time out of his day and called me. And his name is NGL. If we're going to do that phonetically, it's November Gulf Lima Woodworks. All one word, November Gulf Lima Woodworks. His name was Tony. I believe he's out of Arizona. And he is making phenomenal, phenomenal work. He's doing some flags, but for the most part, 90% of it is all law enforcement or military based. So he's doing flags, badge, unit patches, logos.
Oh wow. I gotta interrupt you. I'm looking at his Instagram right now.
Look at that airborne on the second row.
He is amazing.
Look at that airborne. Like that, yeah. That took my breath away.
If you guys aren't following these
NGL Woodworks.
He has a Marshalls on there.
Yeah, he's got every agency that I've ever heard of.
Punisher, Army. Oh my god, he's incredible.
So Tony called me. Again, sent him a message. I was like, hey, I'll actually read you the message. Hey, sir, I'm seriously impressed by your work. Would you mind making some time for me to pick your brain? I have a few questions about your painting techniques. I'm located in New Jersey, just FYI. Thanks, Mike. And he goes, sure, that isn't much. There isn't much to it. Feel free to ask me any questions. So I shot him my number and he calls me. We had like a half hour conversation. And I just went through a few of the pictures. I was like, hey, this airborne one, how did you paint it? What was the steps that you painted it? Because you can't just, you can't even imagine how many steps and what kind of mental planning went into, all right, let me paint this first and everything's going to go on top of that. So Tony actually called me. We had a great conversation. And he's one of my favorite follows. So if you guys aren't following NGL Woodworks, you're doing yourself a disservice.
I just followed. It's and NGL stands for No Greater Love, John 15:13. Right. So,
and he does it part time. Does it part time?
I can't get over this work. Hey, brother, he's almost as good as yours. No, he's different type of woodwork.
The amazing thing is his cuts are all by hand. He doesn't have a router. He's doing all that with a scroll saw.
Okay, if you're listening to this podcast, you need to take a pause, open up your Instagram, and just look at NGL Woodworks. And while you're at it, take a look at Veteran Wood Company. Mm,
thank you.
Definitely, because it's artwork, man. And that's why one of the reasons, I don't even know how, we connected on like some personal issues, but then I think you noticed my love of flags, because I think it's like once a week, I'm like, man, I just need more flags. I can't help it, man.
You're going to need a bigger house soon.
I'm going to need, it's between guns and flags and I don't know what else I'm a big fan of, and hats. And you sent me a hat too.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I love my hats, love my guns, love my flags. And yeah, man, I really appreciate that.
As we're sitting here, I just got a Facebook message from one of my customers. She had bought a Texas flag. She's an Air Force active duty. And she bought an Air Force, excuse me, she's active duty Air Force and bought her boyfriend a Texas flag. So I did her Texas flag and they just received it and they're absolutely in love with it. So I'll be posting a picture of that because they just hung it today on my Instagram in a few minutes.
Well, we're going to give a shout out to Mr. Chad Prather and Mr. Mike Ritland to check out the Texas flags because everybody needs Texas flags.
So if Mike Ritland's listening, which I hope he is, I got to let him know. My wife's got a serious crush on him. She can't get enough of his voice. So, Mike, if you're listening, get in touch. If you want to give her a call, I'll give her your phone number. You'd make her day just by saying, go choke yourself.
That's awesome. It's that voice, man. I think he actually did have me in tears. It was like an Oprah moment.
His voice is amazing.
He's a great guy, man.
Thank you.
Well, Mike, I'm not going to take up too much of your time because you are a busy man working.
Thanks, Jay.
Is there any veteran charities or anything you want to give a shout out to?
Navy SEAL Foundation. Not a Navy SEAL, but I have a couple of active friends that are on the West Coast, and I'm actually close to your friends with Johnny Walker.
And, oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I know Johnny. I was in San Diego twice this past year spending time with him. So if you guys are going to donate, check out the Navy SEAL Foundation.
Definitely. We will do a shout out to them and to your company and to NGL and to everybody else. Awesome. And thank you once again for coming on, brother. And thank you for your service and thanks for, you know, putting a badge on, bro. Cause that's huge, man.
Jay, it goes both ways. Thank you for your life of service and appreciate you having me on.
Thanks, brother.
You're welcome.